something.
So hang on. Both of these staffers who got these large pay raises are friends of yours, I believe, from Oklahoma, right?
They are staffers here on the agency.
Then they're from they're friends of yours.
Well, they serve a very important person.
And you didn't know that they got these large pay raises?
I did not know that they got the pay raises until yesterday.
Okay, one of them got a pay raise of, let's see, $28,000. The other was $56,000. Do you know what the median income in this country is?
No,
what $57,000 a year.
Okay.
So one of your friends from Oklahoma got a pay raise that's the medium income.
They did not get a pay raise. They did not get a pay raise.
They did?
No, they did not. They did not. I stopped that yesterday.
So you stopped it.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed?
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Hi, Jay.
It is another week and I don't know, 8, 10, 24 Scott Pruitt scandals. We are in Scott Pruitt watch. Like it's a suicide watch for his career.
I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes, but everyone, do yourself a favor, watch the full 25 minutes of Fox News' Ed Henry beating the shit out of Scott Pruitt.
It's
amazing. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like, he just wandered in there thinking, oh, this is home team, I'll be fine. And Ed Henry lulls him into a false sense of security talking about baseball and then just starts rabbit punching him. For 25 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Good. This is the best thing Fox has ever done, period. It is.
Sorry, Shep. Yeah. You got bumped down. Ed Henry's my new favorite.
Yeah. All has been forgiven. Dear Fox News, welcome to the resistance, I guess, for 9 minutes.
Well, but he's actually being ideologically consistent, right?
Like, yeah, of course.
This is the crony capitalism shit we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like he's actually coming from a conservative perspective. He didn't like switch teams on us.
No, I can respect it. I 100% respect it. All right. So before we get started, make sure you get those 5-star reviews in on iTunes. As long as they're 5 stars, we will read them on air. Also make sure that you sign up for premium content. If you go to lookforwardshow.com/premium, you can sign up. It's $5 a month or $50 for the full year. You'll get this entire show because you're only going to get the first hour. So you get this entire show, which is normally about 2 hours. I think this episode might be slightly shorter, but we'll see. I mean, we try, but we often fail.
He says that at the beginning of every 2.5-hour episode.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a liar.
This one's going to be a little bit shorter.
I say that for every show, but I am one and surrounded by talkative people. So it is what it is.
It's funny for the, because I do listen to your other shit, and it's funny when you say, we're going to do a little bit quicker of a show, and then I look at the runtime, it's like 3 hours. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Right. Okay, good. Good, you made it under 4 hours. Congratulations. Idiot. But make sure you sign up for that. Also, make sure, because I realize a lot of people don't hear this because they're not premium members, but make sure you also go to lookforwardshow.com/fans and join our fan group, which is on Facebook. And we talk about politics, obviously, and you know, laugh and joke about things, but we're also having real discussions during the week. So it's a lot of it is where we generate our docket. So check that out. Again, I mean, it's Facebook, so it's free. Lookforwardshow.com/fans. Okay, let's get right into
all
it.
All of your data.
Yeah, exactly. That's we're working with Cambridge Analytica to steal your information. See if you truly are black liberals, right? Isn't that what right, Facebook yes. thinks anybody who is okay with black people think? They think they're all black now.
Yeah, or we're all black and soccer fans for some reason.
Yeah, fucking weird. All right, so
I'm not either of those things.
I am one of those things, and I'm black.
Jay loves soccer.
Yeah. Oh, surprise.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So last week, we did decide that we were going to rename two sections of the show from the lightning round and whatever the big news section was. We changed the names to the gauntlet and the eliminator a la American Gladiators, which is, I think, fair. I think that's a reasonable thing to say. So
we're changing our names. Jay will be going by Gemini, and I am Viper.
Okay. God damn it. So let's get right into the first series, which is more of a lightning round, is the Gauntlet. So let's get right into the Gauntlet.
Gauntlet.
American Gladiators was ridiculous. Utterly fucking ridiculous. All right. First story in the Gauntlet. These are actual sounds from American Gladiators, by the way.
That's awesome.
Look, that show was utterly ridiculous, but I loved it. All right, first up in the Gauntlet, Homeland Security is collecting data on journalists and media personalities. This is a super weird story. So, Homeland Security folks are putting out a bid to some company to build a program that would track online, print, broadcast, cable, and radio sources, essentially any journalist, editor, blogger, or correspondent deemed a possible, quote, media influencer could be snagged in this, and they would basically just, to quote DHS, services shall provide media comparison tools, design and rebranding tools, communication tools, and an ability to identify pop media influencers. A critical need to incorporate these functions into DHS programs in order to better reach federal, state, local, tribal, and private partners. So it all sounds like relatively generic, but what they're basically building, at least in my paranoid mind, sounds like an enemies list to be able to track what any of these journalists are doing and saying at any given time. By the way, podcasts would fall into that. I've never been on an enemies list, like a formally written enemies list, but I hope that Look Forward would be at the top of the list, because that would be pretty dope.
We have a lot of people that listen who are kind of, you know, in the DC, the DMZ area. If any of you guys are working on this, get us on that list.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to get us on the list.
Yeah.
Because I feel like. If we pretended that we didn't know, maybe we shouldn't be saying this out loud, and then found out we were on the list, like, we could make a big stink about it, and then that would make us more popular. Like, oh my God, well, I'm so offended. Enemies list. Yeah, but... Nixon. So I don't know. It seems to work.
So,
you know,
yeah,
PR-wise.
We're all friends here now. Get us on that list.
Yeah, come on, man. Help us out.
Because, I mean, if that's like a published list somewhere, to me, that just...
Oh, that's
this
good.
This is the shit you got to check out. That's the list of fire commentary, right?
Like, yeah, these guys are fighting back.
If you're on the Trump enemy list, like that's the good shit. You want to be on that list.
Until they start
rounding us up.
Yeah, no, that's a real problem, actually. Look, we want to be on that list. We need to be on that list. Like, you want us on that list.
Actually, it's probably more of a problem for you. Nobody's going to be able to find me.
Oh, they'll find you.
No. No one knows where. I tell people the name of my town I live in and people don't know where I am.
All right, that's fair.
You can't find it. I'm hidden away in the hills.
Yeah, those are the places they nuke first. They're like, it's around here somewhere. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I live in Nevada. We nuke it on purpose to test.
Yeah.
Like, just like, what? Fuck Nevada. Let's test our nukes here.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? We make mutants? Like, have you been to Nevada? Like, I don't know.
That's Southern Nevada. We're fine up here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like the Southern Nevada is like where the hills have eyes. Like,
right.
Those fucking freak shows. Oh, look, it's Toxic Avenger. Like, weird. What are you doing here?
That'd be weird. You're just like out there dune bugging around in the sand, and then you come back glowing. Like, oh yeah, we tested 400 nuclear weapons out here. Sorry.
I don't feel so good, and my fifth arm is acting up. Strange. I mean, do you have any like legit concerns about this? Like from a real political perspective?
Yeah, it's real Putin-y.
It is. I agree with you.
Yeah, like that was one of the first things Putin did was get rid of the free press.
Yeah.
And there isn't one now. It's all state media there.
What are you talking about? RT is... Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Yes, you have RT and what, Sputnik?
Yeah. Another for garbage.
Your totally objective journalism.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Next up in the gauntlet.
I do think that our, like, so it was easy for Putin to take over a 10-year-old democracy.
Yeah, it's but very simple.
I like to think that our institutions are strong enough to be able to resist that, but
that's cute.
That could also be famous last words.
Yeah, I feel like you have a very healthy optimism. And I would tend to agree with you if it wasn't for 50% of the politicians just being utter cucks and willing to just bend over backwards for whatever their guy says. And that to me is the real problem. Like, I think our democracy has lasted as long as it has because even the side that has the guy in charge who's doing something fucked up will generally push back. But if you only have one side that's willing to push back on their side or the other side, but the other side, the other 50% is not at all when it's their guy, that's a real problem. And that's where we are. So yeah, for sure. we got to, at this point, we have to make it, and this sounds super fucked up, but we either have to make it so that Democrats run everything, which I don't actually support, or it has to be a split. We can never allow Republicans to run everything again. It's just too dangerous. It's too dangerous. And the reason why I'm more okay, but not really okay with Democrats running everything is because Democrats don't get in lockstep. That's their biggest one. Is their biggest problem is that they will always be like, nah, I don't know. I don't trust it. Right. Where Republicans will fall in line almost 100% if they all are on, you know, on an issue. So even when they're like, oh, I don't know, and then they vote for it anyway. Democrats will knife each other weirdly in the back over shit if they don't agree with it. So I don't want any single party in charge, but I certainly would trust, if it had to be one or the other, I would trust Democrats to at least call their own guys to the mat more.
Well, I think our party's a little more well, it's definitely more diverse, but ideologically diverse. Like, we got, like, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Manchin are in the same party.
Right. Like, you know they mean? Couldn't and, be any fundamentally different.
Right, but, you know, and they agree on some big stuff, but, you know, these are not people who would be hanging out otherwise, you know?
No, no. Whereas let me head over to Joe Manchin's house for dinner? No. What are you having, bullets and Bibles? Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, so we've got some more conservative Democrats. It's not like it used to be, where we had like the blue dogs to deal with. But we still have, you know, like Doug Jones is fairly conservative compared to everybody else. Phil Bredesen, who's probably going to win in Tennessee because he's up 10 points over that shithead Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah, buddy.
He's going to be a little more conservative, you know, than obviously your Liz Warrens and Bernie Sanders is.
Yeah. I mean, like that idea that Republicans are the Big Ten party is a joke. Like, it's just simply not true. Like,
it might have used to be true.
Was it?
But everything's just gotten so polarized.
Right. But I mean, when was there a time where there were like what we would argue are liberal Republicans?
Rockefeller. That's why they call it a Rockefeller Republican.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But those guys, the Rockefeller Republicans, like, don't really exist anymore.
No, they're fucking dead. That part of the party is fucking dead.
Who's the most liberal Republican?
I mean, some would say that the libertarians are, but I only think they're tangentially considered liberal because they like weed. Like, I don't really think they're, and they don't think that every black person should be in prison. Like, but I don't know that I would call that liberal. I would say, like, your brain works. But I don't know. I guess, like, Susan Collins?
Yeah, that's probably it. And she just...
And she's just there. It's not really liberal. It's, like, liberal by proxy. Like, if I'm not... If I don't have a semblance of liberal leanings, I'm just going to get politically destroyed just because that's where I live.
She's just like a Republican who remembers that she's also a woman.
Occasionally.
Right. She's like, well, no, you can't defund Planned Parenthood. What the fuck are you talking about? All right, now let's cut taxes.
Maybe Lisa Murkowski?
Mm.
Maybe. I mean, I guess you could, just because she'll vote on liberal shit. But
just healthcare, though, because her state.
Yeah,
her
I mean,
fucking rural as fuck, man.
Yeah, no, like, there's only like 69 yeah, people in Alaska. I mean,
right? You got we've been listening to this thing about what's it called? The
Business Wars.
Yeah, Business Wars, where they're talking about the first season is Blockbuster versus Netflix. So I looked up to see what's left of Blockbuster. And there's 10 stores, and seven of them are in Alaska.
Yep, because they can't get internet worth shit.
Right. So that's the state we're talking about. The state that still has Blockbuster. Like, they need special attention to their healthcare.
Yeah. Look, and you know what? You know who hears about that and just grimaces? And he's like, we need to do something about this? Carl Icahn. Carl Icahn should be in prison.
I'm so glad he lost money on Blockbuster.
Ugh, I want him to lose money on everything. I want him in jail. I want Carl Icahn to die in prison. I do. That guy ruins everything he touches. He is an awful person.
It's funny. I'm listening to this series. And by the way, Carl Icahn was a giant piece of shit. Then I'll go listen to some current stuff like Maddow. And they're like, well, so Carl Icahn's a piece of shit right now. I'm like, God damn it, this guy.
This guy is consistent. He is many things, but he's very, very consistent.
Always a shitlord.
Yeah, he's a raging shitlord. All right, next up in the gauntlet, Trump talks about using the National Guard on the border to save America from a caravan of evil Mexicans who rape women at rates that are unprecedented. A lot of that title is ridiculous and are hyperbolic. Now, those are not my words. Those are the idiot president's words. But he says that he wanted to quote, send the military at first. And then people were like, yeah, we should fucking do that. That's awesome. And then people who like know history and like facts and shit were like, well, actually, you can't do that because, you know, there's and I link this into I linked this in the docket as well. Oh man, shit! I put the wrong link. But basically, there's an act called the Posse Comitatus Act, which does not allow the U.S. military to do operations inside the United States, right? And that's been around since I think the 1800s, and then was ratified in like the 56, I believe. So. I know a lot of people were like, oh, Obama sent troops and Bush sent troops in there, but they didn't send them to the border for an active operation. They just sent them as a as support for the National Guard. So it's they can't actually like do those things like legally inside the US. So Trump wants to now send the National Guard, which apparently Mattis has signed off in sending 4,000 troops as of Friday night. Okay.
Good.
Sure.
Thanks, Mad Dog.
Yeah. Look. Okay. Here's the thing. It's not going to change anything. They're going to be 4,000 really bored fucking National Guard troops.
All they can do is just call Border Patrol. They can't do anything. It's not like they're going to engage. But
yeah, let's fire on these poor people trying to make it across the desert. Yeah, let's line up 50 cows and murder them. Wow, this is a Christian nation. That's awesome. We should definitely do that.
So this is the problem with having a Fox News grandpa as our president. So Fox News got hold of some footage. There's a caravan of Hondurans that are traveling across Central America to get away from Honduras because it sucks there.
Because it's the fucking gang capital of the world. But go ahead.
Right. But it's like families.
A caravan of evil Hondurans.
So BuzzFeed sent a reporter down.
The Mongolians are coming. Like, calm down.
With the caravan. Yeah. So the problem is Fox News paint. If you want to read what's actually going on, BuzzFeed has actual coverage on this. And they're like trying to follow the laws of every country they cross into. You know, they're up on their asylum law, shit like that. They're not an invading horde, but over on Fox News.
The invading horde of poor families trying to stop from getting killed by gang members that are powerful because we love buying drugs. But whatever, I guess it's the same thing. We better look out.
Well, So the chuckle fucks over at Fox News have absolutely painted this as an invading horde who are coming to the border.
The riders of Scipio Africana, they're coming. We better send fucking Russell Crowe to take them down. What are you talking about?
So our idiot president is, they're coming for the border. Send the National Guard.
You fucking moron.
So it's all right. I mean, I disagree with it fundamentally, but if all you're going to do is just scare old people in their retirement homes, fine. You know, that's a fine business model. But the problem is, this moron who doesn't read his presidential daily briefing and only gets his news from Fox and Friends thinks this is a crisis. This has to be stopped. Like, every time, if you've ever watched Fox News, like, anything happens, gang, 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 Fox News alert, red alert, breaking news, terrorism, whatever, you know, they're just trying to scare the shit out of you at all times.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's how they keep viewers. It's fine. But the moron in chief is falling for this every time.
Yeah. I mean, that's look, they are the most powerful. State. They are the most powerful news show in the world.
Fuck, man.
Brian Kilmeade is a part of the most powerful trifecta on earth. And that guy can barely tie his shoes. I guarantee it. Brian Kilmeade, if you're listening, or a close friend of Brian Kilmeade, please come on the show so we can have a debate on politics. I guarantee the two of us would kick the shit out of you and Steve Doocy easily on policy, easily.
There's no comparison to this either. Like, I can't even.
Who's the liberal version? Huh? Who was Obama listening to every time he woke up? Joe Scarborough? Okay. What?
Okay, so what do you think people would do if it's like, Barack Obama is ignoring his advisors and just watching Jimmy Dore videos
Jesus
and writing
fucking
policy
Christ. Oh my God! Did you hear about Seth Rich? Shut up, Jimmy Dore. Shut up. Fucking asshole.
We gotta lock Hillary up, guys. I think she murdered that guy.
I'm a real news commentator. Give me money. Fuck off.
I can't even think of what the. Is there a left version of that that's that reactionary?
Well, I don't think there's anybody on the left that's like of prominent. I'm sure they're like there's a podcast or something, or like the Fire Dog Lake people or something. But
okay, I got it. Who's the crazy lady on Twitter?
You have to be way more specific than that.
Is the British lady who's got like a conspiracy theory every other day?
Oh, Louis Mensch. Or Louise Mensch?
Yes,
or
okay. Yes.
So but she's conservative. Like Obama... She's conservative. She's not liberal. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, there's no one. There's no one. There's no one. Who's the lunatic? I don't know that we have any.
I don't know. I can't think of a left version of this.
Not anyone of prominence. Like, there's no left version of Alex Jones.
I can't even.
But
think of,
by the way, if we work at it, we definitely could be.
Sure, of course.
I mean, look, I know people have a problem with the Young Turks, but like they're like, oh, Young Turks sucks or whatever. But they're not the equivalent of Sean Hannity. Like, they're not.
No.
No, they believe in facts, dude. Like, they don't always get it right, but they believe in facts. Like, Sean Hannity's like, there's a caravan of fucking evil Mexicans coming to murder everyone. Like, wait, that's not a thing. Like, it's just not.
Well, even if it was something, what if it was just Barack Obama is ignoring all his advisors and just watching Cenk Uygur?
Like, wow, that is weird. Like, that is a weird thing. Don't do that. Like, you have better information than the guys reading about it in a newspaper. Like, nah, fuck that. These guys know how to disseminate information that they don't really have. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I don't think there is one. Hey, look, so, listeners, let us know who's the left wing version of Fox and Friends.
I can't even think of anybody. I'm not just like trying to be a homer and going, oh, we're smarter on the left. Like, I literally can't.
No, it's just like, I don't even think it's about smart, because I don't think, I mean, I think Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy are legitimately dumb. But like, I don't think that just because you make crazy statements on the right. I think Rush Limbaugh is an asshole. I don't think Rush Limbaugh is stupid. I think he's very smart. I don't think you can accomplish what he's able to accomplish and influence people in the way that he has and be dumb. Do I think he believes everything he says? No, I don't think so.
Obama had ignored all his advisors and only listened to Susan Sarandon.
Oh, ugh. Then I would not be a Barack Obama supporter. That's how that would have worked. Holy shit.
There's no comparison to this. It's like even fucking other Republican presidents followed their fucking advisors. Like this, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And again, it's not party specific. Like they just all do. That's why you have them.
No, this is an outlier.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. This guy's the lunatic. Like he's the crazy one.
Right. And for fucking Fox and Friends to know this and still do shit like this is so irresponsible.
Yeah, they don't really care. They just want influence. Just like any other these media folks who are hard focused on being the story instead of reporting on the story. Like, you know, not to get too much into the media right now, but like the fact that Sean Hannity has now lost the throne to Rachel Maddow as the most popular show on cable is a testament to her quality of programming, but it does say a lot that the guy who just made shit up for years and continues to do so was on the top. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Okay, so if we found out that, like, Chuck Schumer is not watching any news, he just listens to Look Forward.
I would not be happy with that.
No, I obviously, but we would try a little harder.
Yeah, no, if I knew, like, wow, like I just found out, and this is not to brag, but like I found out a celebrity like listens to one of our shows, and like really enjoys the show, like not this show, but a different show. Yeah, I'm gonna work a little bit harder to make sure, like, all right, like can't just like put out bullshit. Because maybe that person tells another person who has a lot of money and popularity and power. I'm not just going to be like, there's a horde of Mexicans coming over the border. Like, I'm going to try. Jesus. Like, come on, man.
Didn't Patton Oswalt listen to that one episode of Black on Black Cinema?
He did.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But he's not like a policy influencer.
Right. No, exactly. It, you know, again, if Barack Obama was listening to this or Chuck Schumer, I'd be like, yo, maybe, I mean... Like, I'm still going to say cuck, but, like, maybe we, like, really dig into the news a little bit deeper and be like, well, actually, Chuck, wink if you're listening, just saying, maybe you should look into this. I wouldn't just be like, I just wouldn't scream a bunch of shenanigans. Also, that gets people killed. Like, that's one of the things that, like, I don't think those three doofuses understand is those policies get people murdered, dude. Like, when you're like, there's a horde coming, and then they decide to, like, open fire on someone, like, yeah, people get killed. So, yeah, like, those are lives.
3%ers are rushing to the border right now to shoot at anyone brown. Like,
yeah, like, that's not exciting. And then they're like, oh, hey, it turns out, yeah, who could have seen that coming? We could have, like, because you're being irresponsible with the power that you wield. Also, you should not be able to wield that power because, again, you are three doofuses and you don't know shit about shit.
Well, it's a difference between having an irresponsible morning show and then having the actual fucking president of the United States repeating your bullshit.
Right. That's terrifying.
That takes it up to such an insanely different level.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct. Yikes. All right. Let's move on from there. Trump also in the immigration debate, Trump ends the catch and release immigration policy. All you really need to know is that if they catch people at the border, and, you know, they basically arrest them. But while they're waiting trial, they just release them. They're like, because it's not a crime per se. So they just like, get out of here. You're fine. But now Trump wants to, he hasn't changed the law per se. But he's basically put it out that like they should try to end catch and release. And he's consulting with the military about keeping these folks in like military facilities, which no, that seems like that costs us way more money. But I guess you could make the argument that, you know, some of these people who get caught and released come back and then it's like this, you know, sort of recidivism kind of thing. But I don't want to have to pay the military to watch people who are not really committing crimes that are or if you want to call them crimes, are so minuscule that they really aren't. It's not that fucking serious.
No, it's a civil infraction. There's literally a $50 penalty.
Yeah, but is it it's 50 US or 50 pesos? Huh? Did you think about that?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Exactly. It's funny how many people have just like made this their life's mission. This is the crime we must. This is the biggest crime happening. We must put all of our resources into this. And it's so minor.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, like there are, I mean, in fairness to them, there are dozens of people in this invading horde that is coming. Instead of starting a trade war with China, we should be asking them how do they built that fucking Great Wall. The Great Wall of Trump. That's what we should be doing.
Well,
think about
so it. Applying for asylum is not illegal. It's actually quite legal. You can reject it, but people can apply. That's not illegal. That's what these guys are coming to do.
Yeah, I feel like you're being a little cuckish here. I feel like that's you gotta be a little bit more hardcore, man. Like Don't be so nice. Don't be so nice. Nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
You saw that. I mean, you've seen the trailer for that upcoming or that documentary that got released. I think it was like last year or something like that. Was it The Wall with Matt Damon? Right? Like that was about the about the impending invading hordes that were Hondurans. It's kind of crazy.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. The Hondurans.
Yeah. How many Hondurans have made it into China? Not many. Thanks to that fucking wall.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Boom.
Thank you, wall.
Yeah. Thanks, wall. You're right.
Walls work.
Yeah. That's right.
Walls work.
Yeah. You have a fence between you and your neighbor. That's the same thing as a massive immigration policy that costs billions and billions of dollars. Yeah. It's the same thing. That's right. Boom. Lawyered.
I have a fence to keep my dogs in.
Yeah. I mean,
you know how easy it is to get my fence? You just lift the little thing.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness,
I
wish I had a higher fence.
You just open it and go on in. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, lib. Whatever. Sure.
Look, I agree with Ronald Reagan. And, I believe in amnesty for people who've been in the United States, even though they may have entered illegally.
There you go.
Ronald Reagan.
Lone liberal voice of the Republican Party.
Well, that was back when you could win a Republican primary just by demonizing black people.
Yeah, no, you have to. They've added so many more groups to that list.
Right. We're into a new phase.
Like, yeah. Nah. Black people was just the fucking, we're the foundation on their bigotry. They're like, we got icing now on this cake. Let's do it. And it's got a fucking Mexican spice to it. It's delicious.
No. We don't hate Latinos. We hate illegals.
And the legal ones also on the other side of the fence. But whatever. It's different. next up in the gauntlet, as I wrote here, Cuck refuses to go to dinner. Donald Trump.
Hang on. He's still gonna go to dinner.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's a lard ass. He ain't missing dinner.
he's not going to this dinner.
Yeah, this guy is not a spokesman for intermittent fasting. I'll tell you that. But
you talking about it? I'm not fat. Can't you tell from my insanely baggy suit?
My fucking doughy face. For every like, I don't know, cubic centimeter of like lard that's in his face, Melania has the exact opposite. Like her face is as tight as a fucking snare drum, and he's got all her face fat plus interest. It's kind of
weird. We're having a great time in the group with the with Trump's ridiculous suit he wore to the Easter egg roll.
Oh my god.
Which
looks like such
looks like a fucking toddler in his dad's suit.
Yeah, he does. Like you know how like you had a suit in high school, but it wasn't tailored. You just looked ridiculous. Your dad's like, "Oh, you wear my suit, boy. You're tall enough now." I never had that problem because my dad was way taller than me. But yeah, like your seats were fucking, your legs were blowing in the breeze. Yeah, imagine that, but being like 70 and having all the money and access in the world and still looking like that.
And you know what? It is noticeable that Hope Hicks is no longer there because those pants are wrinkly as fuck.
Mm, think about it. That's not the only thing that hasn't been steamed in a couple of days. Woo, gross. His penis is what I was talking about.
There was a woman, she's like a Republican strategist, which was interesting, but she is on All In the other day, on Thursday's episode, where she referred to Hope Hicks as a comfort goat.
Wow.
She goes, so, you know, race horses, they have, you know, you got your trainers and your jockeys, and then in every pen, there's a goat. There's a what they call a comfort goat. It's like the racehorse has a buddy there. And Trump he doesn't have his comfort goat anymore.
That's hilarious.
just to keep him calm and make him feel better.
I like the idea of referring to Hope Hicks as a comfort goat. That's pretty good.
A comfort goat. It's fucking hilarious. But yeah, if you were, I know a lot of people do the podcast version of those shows, but Thursday's episode of All In, which, yeah, that one was guest hosted by, what is his name?
Ari Melber?
No. It's like that, though. Velshi?
Oh, yeah, Velshi. Yeah, from that, the Finance Show.
Yeah, yeah. What's his first name? It's
Muhammad? I don't know. It's very racist. I have no idea what it is.
It's like Ari, but it's not Ari. Ollie,
yeah. I think that's right. But yeah. That feels very, very racist.
Yeah, Ollie Velshi.
Yeah. He's Canadian.
I guess so, sir.
He's Canadian, yeah, as we found out in that one clip. Oh, you know where you people are from. I'm from Canada.
Canada? No, he didn't even say it. His girl jumped in.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's from where? Where? Fucking Canada?
He was like,
bitch ass racist motherfucker. Oof. Don't come for Ollie, you next to me.
That's right. This is my homeboy. She keeps it real. She don't fucking around.
Stephanie Rule. She will
fucking
she'll get way ahead.
Yeah, dude. She will fucking
Ollie
throw
can't
a
even defend himself.
She will throw she'll a fucking sharp elbow, dude. She will throw a fucking sharp elbow. You try to go after Ollie. By the way, that guy
for
was
where,
born
for where? Canada. Fuck you.
You're like, wow. Sorry. Incidentally, Ollie Velshi shouldn't be trusted. You know where he was born? He's born in fucking Kenya. How about that? There's the real. There's your real birther conspiracy. Born in Nairobi, Kenya. Ari Velshi, born in Nairobi, Canada. A Canadian television journalist in America now. How convenient.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yes. So it. I'm sorry, MSNBC confuses me when you only listen to it because it's either Ollie or Ari or Joy. I know when it's Joy.
Yeah, well, of course. Or as I like to refer to her as Black Maddow or Rachel as White Joy. They're the same person. They're just a different shade. That's it. That's it. And that's why I love both of them. They're both fucking super dope.
Fucking palette swap of each other.
Yeah, they are. They're like badly drawn comic characters from the 1960s. She's just like, I don't know. This one's brown. This one's white. Who gives a fuck? Give them both
you
superpowers.
Player one, then you.
Yeah, she's like, they're each a costume change, like a Street Fighter V costume change of the other one. Holy shit! It's like, it's Rose. It's Goku Rose. It's AM Joy Rose. It's fine.
They're each other's Ryu and Ken.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's how it works. That's fine. Thinking about photoshopping that actually. that's actually pretty good. I like that. All right.
What, them shooting fireballs at each other?
Don't think I won't do it. So Trump is not going to the correspondence dinner. This is the second year in a row. He is instead going to send Sarah Huckabee Sanders to get fucking roasted at this thing in his stead. I don't think it's going to work the way he thinks it is.
He is putting up a burnt offering in his place.
I feel like they're just going to pivot from Sarah Huckabee Sanders and just fuck up Donald Trump while she's just there. I don't think they're going to. I think they're just going to let it slide.
Well, why this is a bad tactical move is because, so it would be smart to send a woman out there if you're going to have like a male comedian, and then you'd be like, oh, you got to be hands off. You can't go after her looks or anything, because then you'd be sexist. That's smart. Problem is.
Okay.
Problem is.
She looks like a bulldog. No. That's the problem. That makes sense.
Right. But the problem is. Michelle Wolf is hosting this year.
Oh, no. She's not going to make fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' looks. And that's not, it's not necessary.
I know, but you can't, you don't have to be as hands off.
No, you don't. Right? Oh my God.
Yeah, you can have a woman roast another woman. Like if it was like Stephen Colbert, you'd have to be a little more light touch with it. Right.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to lie. I like that. I truly do. I like Michelle Wolf. She's hilarious.
Oh, she's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So, I don't think this is going to work out, like you said, how he thinks it is. Because they're still going to make fun of him.
Of course. Like, you think they're really going to let this shit slide? Come on, man. No.
So, is Sarah going to try to tell jokes?
No. Oh no, I didn't think about that. That's a terrible idea. Oh no. Sarah, don't do it. Look, I don't like you. I can't stand your ass, but don't do that. Don't do it. That's a bad move. That's a bad move.
They've always talked about how difficult that spot is, because you send up the president has to go tell jokes. And then a professional comedian comes on and tells jokes.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of hang with them.
Right? Yeah. And or you have to have a staff that can write good jokes.
Yeah.
Who's going to write them? Stephen Miller? Hey, did you hear the one about the Mexicans? They should all die. Sorry. That's not, you guys don't like that one? That's weird. Okay, cool. Tough crowd.
So I think Obama did really well at it.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
He was super dry and just not afraid to just let a joke hang there.
No, he's a dad of young kids too. I think that also matters.
Yeah. W was weirdly good at it.
Yeah, he's got a folksy way about him.
But it was because he could be a little that's what I'm shooting for.
Self-effacing?
Yes. There you go.
It's good work.
He would make fun of himself a little bit. And Trump has such an ego, he will not do that.
That's why he's not going to this. Look, yeah. I mean, I'm saying it to be...
Self-deprecating. That's what I was trying to think of.
What's that?
Self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating, yeah. But, like, it's because his... Like, it's not that he has an ego. I mean, he does. But it's that he's so fucking insecure. That's what it really is. Right. You think he could come up there and let a comedian fucking drop fucking bombs on his ass for like 40 minutes? He would probably go crazy. Remember when Obama fucking slammed him at the Correspondents' Dinner?
He cracked a smile on a couple of those, but...
He didn't crack Obama a smile when Seth Meyers was lightning his ass.
No, Obama didn't tune him up like Seth Meyers.
Holy... It made him run for president. He was that mad.
Obama made fun of like the birther thing, and he kind of made a couple of jokes at the, you know, about the apprentice, but he didn't really make fun of Trump.
Yeah.
And then Seth Meyers got up there and just ripped him to fucking bits. It's amazing. I've watched it 20 times at least. I'm probably going to watch it again now that I've been reminded of it. It's one of the best things
ever. Oh, it was super good because he was like, hey, Donald Trump is, we hear you might run as a Republican. That's funny because I thought you were running as a joke. I was like, God damn. Like, look, I hate this guy too, but Jesus Christ. Why don't you just stab his kids too? Fuck.
They kept cutting to Trump and he's just sitting there trying to murder him with his eyes.
He was like, yo, these superpowers have got to kick in sometime. Like, I need to kill Seth Meyers. Right? He was trying to do the thing from fucking Scanners. Just like, He was like, I've been watching Michael Ironside pull this shit off for 30 years, and I want to see how well this works. I hate you, Seth Meyers. I want you to die.
There's a clip going around right now from the Easter thing of Sarah Sanders trying to read a book to children.
Oh, no, it's horrible.
She's just humorless. And I can't imagine her trying to tell jokes. It's
just don't. That'd
be the fucking cringiest thing that's ever happened.
I'm going to watch it. There's no way I can't watch it, right? Like, I have to see this disaster.
I'm going to sit there and like try to crawl out of my body.
I don't want to be here. None of this is good. None of this is good. Nah, don't. Like, I think it's kind of fucked up to send her to the wolves, man.
Is anyone else hot? I feel very hot. It's so warm.
Like, ugh, this is awful. All of it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, in conclusion, Sarah Huckabee Sanders should totally try to tell jokes.
It's gonna be fucking hilarious. It's gonna be funny.
She should call up all the funniest conservatives to help her out with her jokes.
Who? Bill Ingvall? Like, who's she gonna call? Hey, get the Prilosec guy on the line. Like, no, there's no one. No one here to help you. What's that?
You know what? I was trying to think of funny conservatives. And,
we had this conversation on the Nerdpocalypse. There aren't any. Ron White is the only one.
Yeah, and his jokes aren't even conservative.
No, it's just about being drunk and hating his ex-wife. That's it.
Yeah.
That's just American.
Yeah.
That's just even a guy.
Some of his cultural stuff is isn't even conservative.
No.
Like, oh, you're all gay. I could prove it. You know?
Yeah, like, that's really what it is. That's really what
that's a funny joke is. But really, I ain't gay at all. Bullshit. Everybody's a little bit gay.
I like a hard throbbing cock. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. Do you watch porn? Well, yeah. Do you like a little tiny flaccid wiener? No, I like big hard throbbing cock. Oh.
Like, well, I'll be
damned. I did not know that about myself.
Turns out. Yeah, I just... Yeah, it's just like the idea of a conservative comedian is just funny. There aren't any. Dennis Miller is a conservative comedian, and he's not funny.
He's terrible.
He's fucking awful, and he should have stuck to being either not political at all, or just, I don't know, like just stop. Just
maybe Nick DiPaolo.
Ugh, Nick DiPaolo sucks. He sucks. Fuck that guy. And it's not just because we're on different sides of the political aisle. He fucking sucks. He's just an old, mean person. And I don't mean that in like, oh, he's being mean a little. No, I mean, he's just like a dick. He's just a dick. Ah, liberals are dumb. Oh, wow. Great joke, Nick. That's awesome. Like, wow, you fucking nailed it. Fuck off. Oh, you guys are snowflakes. You guys bitch and complain when they talk about, hey, kids got shot with guns. Yeah, but I need guns. Rah! Like, yeah, all right. This is like, conservative jokes are fucking terrible. They are. Again, if you are a fan of conservative comedy, please let us know a good one. And not the guy with the puppets. He sucks. Because puppets aren't funny. Unless you're Job from fucking Arrested Development.
So, like, the only thing that's, like, even the popular, like, comedians that conservatives do like the blue collar comedy guys, like, even they're not super political.
No,
like Jeff Foxworthy's not out there fucking doing biting political commentary.
You might be a conservative if you also believe in the Second Amendment and think it's reasonable for us to arm ourselves against a possible tyrannical government, but you are also okay with regulation to a point because we also think that we should respect one another. You might be a redneck. Like, no, those are not his jokes. It's like you have a little TV on top of a big TV. You might be a redneck. Oh!
Yeah, it's just cultural stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, I'm not going to pretend that I've never laughed at a Jeff Foxworthy joke, but I wouldn't say he's, like, hilarious.
I will go out on this limb. Jeff Foxworthy is funny.
He's fine. I think he's fine. I think his shtick is tired.
Bill Ingvall is
not. What's that?
Bill Ingvall is not.
Bill Ingvall just stole Jeff Foxworthy's skit.
Yes, but he's friends with him, so
Yeah. He was like, Bill, stop telling these corny ass jokes. Why don't you just copy what I did? I made millions of dollars. And Billing Ball's like, you're right. I'll do it. Like, yeah. Here's your sign. Like, that's his whole fucking thing. Hey, you're dumb. Here's your sign. Like, what's the sign say? Hey, you're dumb. Billing Ball, you're hilarious. Wow.
But yeah, fucking so awful. Even like Jeff Foxworthy and fucking Larry the Cable Guy, they're making cultural references. They're not like, it's not like political commentary. You know what I mean?
Right. Wow. Bill Ingvall is a real person. That's crazy to me.
It's kind of weird to be great value Jeff Foxworthy, but then get to hang out with Jeff Foxworthy. Like, he's got his own little shittier version of himself to hang out with.
Yeah. He's like, man, when I'm feeling down on myself, I look over at Bill Ingvall and go, well, it's not so bad. I could be this fucking guy. Jesus Christ. Look, a picture of Bill Ingvall hanging out with Jennifer Lawrence. Another reason I don't like Jennifer Lawrence. All right, next up. Ben Nelson is going to battle Rick Scott for the Florida Senate seat. In a race I like to refer to as Untoasted Wonder Bread versus Human Snake Man. Ben Nelson better kick that ass. He better beat Rick Scott, or I'm going to go down to Florida and kick Ben Nelson's ass myself.
Bill Nelson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why did I write Ben? Oh, because I wrote it incorrectly in something else and changed it the other day too. Yes, Bill Nelson, not Ben Nelson.
So neither of these men have eyebrows.
No. No, and this is the whitest really race. Off-putting. This is the whitest race in the United States, and they're from the Sunshine State. Go outside, please.
Find a Cuban. So the
have sex with her or him, depending on what you're into.
I don't think Rick Scott has a fucking chance here.
I doubt it. Yeah, I'm doubtful of that.
Bill Nelson is, he's fairly popular. I mean, he's not underwater or anything in the approval ratings, but we got that blue wave. And due to a couple of things that the Republicans have been doing, they went ahead and activated the liberals in their state.
Idiots.
There's a lot of angry kids you may have seen recently in Florida. They're kind of mad that their friends got shot.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
So they decided to all register to vote, so that's bad news. There was another thing off the coast of Florida a little bit, in Puerto Rico, where half the island still doesn't have power.
Yeah, they seem still mad about that.
They're a little salty, and a lot of them are in Florida now. And here's the funny thing about Puerto Ricans. They are U.S. citizens who are able to vote.
So you say. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel fair. I would argue.
The other interesting thing is on the ballot, they covered this on Pod Save America this week. On the ballot in Florida, if they get 60% for this amendment, they're one of the few states where I think there's four of them. Where if you commit a felony and serve your time and you go ahead and do all of your parole and all of that, and once you are totally done, you still can't vote. And people think that's unfair, and that's on the ballot right now.
Oops.
And they're gonna try to pass that because there are 1.5 million Floridians who can't vote because of this.
Yeah, I mean, look, criminals shouldn't be allowed to vote. Why? There's a lot of dumb people who are allowed. So what? Well, you can make a mistake and then, you know, serve your time. There's nothing wrong with that. You should be able to vote.
I don't get that argument. Like, what, are they going to all go fucking vote to make crime legal?
Right. Yeah. Woo. Finally. Like, that's not how it works, guys.
But okay. So if people, while they're in prison, while they're on parole, if you don't want to allow them to vote, that's fine. But once you've paid your debt to society, that's it. You're a citizen again.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's how the world works.
Yeah. with all the rights and privileges that come with it.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's super easy to be an ex-con. There's a ton of people who will not even fucking look at your job application if you're
not at all.
If you're an ex-con,
ban the box
right into the garbage. Yeah, and then just an additional thing, and you can't vote. Fuck you.
Like what? Why? Like why? Why is that a thing? It.
Well,
I don't get it.
Well,
okay. Well, I do get it.
Well, historically,
there's this whole thing. It starts with an R, ends in an acist. Weird.
Yeah. So as it turns out, when you disproportionately arrest black people for the same shit everybody does, you end up with a lot more black people with felonies on their records. And then if you make it so that felons can't vote, then you disenfranchise the black vote. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. No, that's just a way to stop minorities from voting.
Yes. Why are X thing in the South doing X thing to voting? Oh, it disenfranchises black people. Got it.
Ding, 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 ding. We figured out their motivations. Yeah, that's always the motivation. Every single fucking time.
Wow, literally everyone. Wow.
Strange.
Huh?
It's almost like they have an agenda. It's almost like they have a plan.
No polling places in inner cities. What's that about? Oh, got it.
Oh, it's one of those things again. I see what you did there.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Good deal.
Yep. all right. Next up, Blake Fahrenthold leaves Congress effective immediately. This is a kind of a big deal.
Fuck him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Representative Fahrenthold of Texas abruptly resigns from office. He sent a letter. He sent a statement Friday to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Said he was resigning effective 5 p.m. on Friday. If you don't remember, he is under House Ethics Committee investigation because he used federal money to fight allegations of sexual harassment and retaliation. He spent $84,000 doing that on your dime. And he said that he would, in fact, pay it back. But I'm curious as to why he's leaving right now, because he was supposed to.
I think another hammer's about to drop right now.
Okay, that's my thought too. I think there's a little bit more here.
He was like, no, I'm not going anywhere the whole time, and then just all of a sudden, all right, I gotta leave.
Yeah,
like something's about to happen here.
Yeah, it's like that dude is definitely getting busted for way more than we thought.
He's gonna fucking disappear into Bolivia. Like we're not gonna hear from him anymore.
Yep,
something bad's about to happen.
Good, and I hope it implicates others. Again,
yes.
Now, I know some people are thinking, oh, hey, this will possibly contribute to the 100 seats. This is Texas, so no, it will not.
Well, hang on.
I don't think so, man.
All right, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to see how deep a red his district is.
I'm pretty sure it's pretty red because I did the same thing. Like, I was going to post my Drake meme, my 0 to 100 Drake meme. But no, I think it is pretty red because all the stories are about who's going to win the Republican primary in the runoff. Not, hey, is there a chance a Democrat? They were like, no, let's just stop. Don't bother reading further. But yeah, go ahead and check and see. But
Texas is 27th. Blake Fahrenthold.
How much did he win that district by?
Well, let's see.
4,000 points.
All right, let's check 2016. Did he even have an opponent? This is a tough hill to climb. Blake Fahrenthold, the incumbent. Now, keep in mind, we're losing the incumbent advantage here. Beat Roy Barrera 61.7 to 38.3.
Yikes.
It's a tough hill to climb, but not impossible.
Hmm. Yeah, not great though. That sounds basically redder than a baboon's ass to me.
Okay, but that's the thing. We've seen 23-point swings. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm not. Yeah. So we should field a candidate and run hard and hope for the best.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I think they're probably going to field a candidate. But I just don't see. I don't see them. I don't see them like pulling any major upset here. Although if Farron holds crazy corruption, that might swing something. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and depending on what drops here. Because if it's something super gross, you may disenfranchise some Republicans. Which
is, yeah, like, if you find out like this, like if you find out this guy just like beat the brakes off of some woman or whatever, like then I could absolutely see something like that happening. But if it's just like, oh, you know, this is exactly what we thought, or you know, just not that much different, then nobody's going to give a fuck. But if it's something really bad, like it wasn't just this one woman, it was like nine women, and he's, you know, done a bunch of retaliation and everything else, then okay, then we got ourselves a fucking, we got ourselves a race.
Like a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Woof. Roy Moore is like, look, man, I wouldn't have gone to the mall. I'm trying to tell you, really fucks your career up. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Roy Moore, who I still believe has not conceded the election.
No, he did. I just saw that actually this week. So,
did he really?
Yeah, I think so. I think he did.
Well, now that you've been serving for a couple of months, I'm going to go ahead and concede that I lost this one.
Yeah, it turns out you got me. Like, yeah, dude, we got you like 3 months ago. Like, you sneaky libs.
For the last month and a half. Yeah, of course you lost. I'm in the Senate right now.
Mm-mm-mm. Like, yeah, I'm doing the job. All right, click. I'm just hang on. Fuck out of here. Last but certainly not least, in the gauntlet, Massachusetts judge upholds important weapons ban. Basically, coming out and saying, look, the weapons, like semi-automatic or assault weapons, are not protected by the Second Amendment. Get the fuck out of my face. And this is a federal judge. Your thoughts on this?
So there actually has not been a ton of Supreme Court cases that touch on the Second Amendment. They turn them away because they're like, I'm not fucking touching it.
Like, yep.
But the big one is Heller versus DC from 2008.
It's kind of a big deal.
So the individual right to own a firearm has existed since 2008. It was not clear before that. But DC had some of the strictest gun laws, or had the strictest gun laws in the country. And they basically, you can't have a gun, was the law. And this dude Heller won, and now you have a right to a gun. But in the decision, like conservative ass Antonin Scalia puts in his opinion, now that doesn't mean that, you know, some reasonable gun control measures are unconstitutional. Like, there's certain type of weapons and certain people who shouldn't have them, you know, based on, you know, mental illness or criminal history or whatever. So he basically, in the decision that established an individual right to firearms, he also made the decision that gun control is not unconstitutional, right? So every other federal judge has upheld pretty much every gun control measure that's been passed anywhere. They had an assault weapons ban that got challenged in Maryland, and it got upheld. And then this one in Massachusetts got upheld. So individual states can basically pass most gun control measures as long as it's not nobody gets any guns.
Right.
But they can restrict the type of guns you have without violating your constitutional right. So anytime somebody goes, nah, any gun control is unconstitutional, go fuck off.
No, it's not.
Read them the words of Antonin Scalia, the most conservative motherfucker there ever did be.
And now he's dead. Good.
And now he's dead.
That's what happens when you're conservative. You die eventually. Rachel Maddow's liberal. She's alive. Boom. I rest my case.
You know what? The evidence is piling up here.
Yeah, look, I'm just saying, like, you can pretend that it doesn't matter, conservatives, but it turns out it totally does matter. That's
me and Jay alive. Ronald Reagan dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's
a lot of evidence
to back this up. Think about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's convenient for you, Jay. It is. It's very convenient. It's incredibly convenient for me. Suck at conservatives. All right. So I think
I had an idea the other day, by the way. Have you ever seen those lunatics wearing the t-shirts that say "shall not be infringed"?
Yeah.
I just want to make some t-shirts that say "well regulated."
That's just such a random yeah. Now,
if you're just going to pull out a couple of words, I can do the same thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know, .com. Like, what does that mean? Buy Menin. It doesn't mean anything.
Shall not be infringed. What about the stuff that came before that? I don't care.
I'm not here for all the words. I'm here for some of the words.
They try to have it both ways, too. They're like, well, okay, but doesn't this apply to militias? No, we're the militia. We're all the militia.
All of us.
Okay, well, it says well regulated. No, that just applies to militias. Well, what the fuck?
Which one are you?
We're the militia.
I'm all of them. And I'm Schrodinger's militia. I am all of the militias and none of them.
Episode title.
That's pretty good.
And the photo has to be Ralph Wiggum.
I am militia.
Done.
Nailed it.
Cut, print, perfect.
All right.
All right.
All right. Let's. God damn it. All right. Let's move into the Eliminator.
Let's hear it. Are you ready for the Eliminator?
That's right. That is Hulk Hogan. That's exactly who that is.
Who the fuck is Hulk Hogan?
Hulk. Well, excuse me. Terry Bollea was the host.
He hosted the one
that came back.
That's wow. I completely forgot about that. Thank you.
One, you're welcome. Two, if you don't recall, and I didn't recall until I had to scour many American Gladiator videos, Gina Carano was one of the people on that show. She was one of the gladiators. Right. She was Crush.
This is unrelated, but it's just something that made me laugh. In the Nerdpocalypse group, somebody posted a story that like WWE was thinking about bringing Hulk Hogan back.
No, yeah.
And, and in the comments, our mutual friend Haji posts, that was 3 years ago. He's probably not even racist anymore.
Hey, he's probably fine. He's right over it.
Yeah, just kind of bout of the racism, but he shook it off. He's good.
Yeah, no, he's fine. He's fine. I mean, how long are you going to have this thing, right? Like, come on.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? A lot of people come down with the schism.
The schism.
But
they all tend to be white. Anyway, it's like with black people and sickle cell anemia, right? That's what racism is for white folks. All right. In the Eliminator, first story, trade war is up. Is about to get into full swing. We have 60 days before these proposed tariffs go into place. On one side, we have Donald Trump, who is leading America off a cliff. And on the other side, China, who is like the roadrunner, convincing us to walk further off the cliff before we realize that there's nothing below us. This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. During the dizzying week in which the world's two largest economies exchanged threats of heavy tariffs, Beijing has insisted it is ready to wage a trade war to, quote, the end. That's great.
They're not fucking around either. They
No, they are not.
On this list? 128 or something?
Wait, say it again?
How many items are on the list that they released?
Something like that. It's like 128. What you really need to know is that Trump is willing to throw up another $100 billion in Chinese export tariffs, which is fucking crazy.
Good deal. So if you look at what the Chinese have proposed, they hung back for a little bit. They did their research. Bravo, China, on this. It is a surgical strike to Trump country.
Yep.
The items that they listed are all in areas that voted for Trump. They just found red states, and what do they sell? Cool. Put a tariff on it. What do they sell over here? Cool. Put a tariff on it. I heard an interview on The Daily with a soybean farmer.
Oh, like, sad.
Yeah. Who'd you vote for? Donald Trump. How much of your crop is exported internationally? 90%.
God damn it. Here's your sign. You? You know, maybe Bill Engvall has a good point.
How fucked are you? Really bad.
on a scale of, man, I should have kept my mouth shut and voted for that lady. Yeah, 100% that way. Good.
Yeah, and I was going to feel bad for him, but then they're like, okay, knowing what you know now, would you still vote for a Well, I probably would, but...
Nope. Mm. Like, all right, well, if you're willing to walk off that cliff, don't let me get in your way.
All right, well, I mean, we're sending the most sympathetic human ever, Michael Barbaro, to talk to you, who, like, you could literally be, I murder children for a living. And why do you do that?
He's always whispering because I feel like he knows I'm listening early in the morning. I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, yell at them. It's way too early. Yell at them.
What he does that's brilliant is he'll find somebody who's like, yeah, I voted for Trump and he took away my black lung benefits. Like, oh, that's terrible. I would not be that guy.
Nah, I'd be like no, let's burn this Trump administration to the ground. I made a mistake.
Fucking idiot. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's it is wild. It's incredibly crazy to me that that China nailed it that well. Like, that's wild. It wasn't like, I don't know, blue jeans and bourbon. No, dude, they knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't even touch California, the ninth largest economy in the world. They didn't touch anything that they produce. They weren't like, we need to fuck with the basic bitch avocado toast or something like that. No, they didn't fuck with any of that. They went right to the fucking heartland. That shit was genius, man.
Which states are red? Hit them.
Yeah. Like, what if we got into a nuclear war with China? In 60 days, we're economically about to, and they're going to win. They're super going to win. That'd be fine.
Give me an election map. Fuck up these states right here.
Because guess what? At the end of the day, those people are going to be screaming about not having jobs, plants closing down or shutting down temporarily. They're going to be screaming about it. And all that triggering libs ain't going to do shit because we're going to be fine. It'd be fun. Like, it, look.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, me and Jay are fine. They're not touching Maryland. They want those crab legs.
Yeah. No. I'm good. And look, I don't work for anybody that exports anything but fucking knowledge over the world. So
they're anticipating gold's going to shoot through the roof on this thing. So yeah, things are going to work very well for me.
Yeah.
So
a little overtime. There you go.
Fucking A. Sucks to be you, Middle America. Mm-hmm. Like, it really does. But make better choices. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's just it's just one of those things where, you know, like they say, elections have consequences. You're right. They sure fucking do.
China don't want your wheat anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. And like, you know, I was watching a whole video, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Vox or something like that, or CNN. And they had a whole thing about the history of tariffs and like when we did a tariff, sort of a tit for tat kind of trade war with China before, like we did it and they were like, all right, we're going to put it on electronics. And then we said, we're going to put it on blah, blah, blah for you and all this other shit. And we went back and forth and then they did it on cars. Or we did it on their car, like importing their cars. And after the trade war was finished and like all these things went back to where they were, we never took off the tariffs for the cars, for imports of their cars. So that stayed, which is why now American trucks dominate the truck market, the pickup market, like pickup truck market, because the tariffs are so much higher for foreign trucks. So that's why they cost more. But like that stayed in place and it's like 15 years old. So yeah, you think a trade war is over when it's over. It's not. It can just leave certain things in place where people go, This is still working. Like, fuck it. Why get rid of it? So if you think like, oh, we can, you know, if you're in the Midwest or something like that, or you're in Trump country and, you know, you support this trade war, which would be crazy anyway. But if you do, realize that certain things may not go back. China might just be like, nah, let's just leave that shit in place. Fuck them. Like, they just could. So,
hey, you know what? We like Brazilian corn better anyway.
Yeah. Like, turns out. And if that happens, like, again, it's not affecting. Do you have that?
Perma-fucked.
Do you have the map of where things are being hit?
I don't. I'd have to Google it.
All right. I'm going to see if I can find it. I found it. That was very easy, actually.
There you go. Yeah. So what's going to be interesting about this?
God damn.
What's interesting about their strategy is there's no equivalent of this that we can do to them. Like,
no.
Go, okay, well, we're gonna go after all the Xi Jinping voters. He's an autocrat. There's no.
Yeah, we got you now, Xi Jinping. We're fucked. You'll never be president for life. Oh, God damn it.
We're gonna fuck with Xi country.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
There's nothing. There's nothing we could do.
Yeah, we got you now. We got you now, Xi Jinping.
Yeah, and you know, maybe go fine. We're not gonna buy any Chinese.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Saying, right.
They just signed trade agreements with literally every other country.
Yeah. I mean,
like I said, they just took they just white outed our name on the TPP and put their own name on it. And now they're doing it without us.
I think it's hilarious that Trump is like, I wrote art of the deal. I'll take you down. Like, no, dude, no. Like, this shit ain't some fucking 80s boardroom bullshit. They're just going to crush you until you break. And it's either you're going to break or the American economy is going to break. And then everyone will go to the White House and scream at you. Or that's it. Those are the options. Option A is that you go, this wasn't worth it. Or option B is that everyone realizes how bad it was and they will fucking throw your ass out of office. And the problem is, I don't know that Trump is smart enough to yield ahead of time. So I think people are like, oh, I think he's going to use this as a negotiating mechanism. China ain't got nothing to lose. They're good. We have everything to lose. We're already being more and more isolated through our rhetoric around the world. It doesn't make any sense.
So the stock market's on fire.
Yeah, I think it's lost over 1,000 points this past week. Well over 1,000.
It's having the worst second quarter since
the Great Depression.
Great Depression.
Yep.
granted, it was really high, so it has quite a ways to fall, but it's still a rough sign. So this is, you know, when you have your people that, Pence would be just as bad. Free trade conservatives would not do this shit.
No, Pence is not going to get into a trade war with China. That's just simply not true.
No, he's not going to send the fucking National Guard to stop a caravan.
An invading horde. Like that's not. Again, Pence's biggest thing would be like, we got to stop the gays. Like that would be his biggest thing. And again, he's got legal precedent really throwing it right in his face right now, and that's going to make his life really hard. But he would just be like, we need to make sure people can deny, you know, bakers can deny gay people of wedding cakes, like. Okay, we'll see in 4 years when we get that shit overturned. Like, again, it's just stupid.
Yeah, and every friend is like, oh, Pence would be worse. What do we do to gay people or to LGBT people? What do you mean, like ban trans people from the military or something?
Like, yeah, that shit's happening right now.
Yeah, we have that plus a lunatic.
Yeah, look, I hate to say it. I'll take the gay basher. Like, but that guy wouldn't light the world on fire. He wouldn't. He would just try to
round him up and put him in camps.
Yeah, all right. He might actually try to do that, but like, yeah,
I mean, but I think he'd probably be stopped.
Yeah, I feel like everyone wouldn't just be like, yeah, that seems totally cool, guys. Like, no, they wouldn't.
The most conservative court would overturn that fucking executive order. Come on now.
Yeah. Like, how about no? And look, you don't even need the most conservative court. I mean, the only, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Pence is a bigot. Like, the only way that really, and that he would be worse than Trump. I mean, he's definitely a bigot. But the only way that he would arguably be worse than Trump is that he would put just raging bigots on, in the legal world, like as judges, lifetime appointees.
They're putting the most conservative idiots in the world on
them. Right, but he's putting I would argue that Trump is putting idiots, but I don't think they are. I would argue that they're probably not ideologically, and this is just my assumption. I would argue they're probably not ideologically just so bigoted on like gay rights. I think they're just like, corporations are people, my friend. Like, I feel like they're more those kind of dude bros than anything else.
Get the same fucking list of morons from the Federalist Society that Pence would use. The only argument against Pence is that he'd be more competent.
Yeah, and well, that is right. Absolutely true.
Yeah. Like, Trump stops most of his own shit by being an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, well, you're not wrong about that.
Like that's the only danger of Pence is, you know, he would work with Congress and get things done that we do not like.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good point. But again, you can't unnuke the world. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. Look, to me, it's the only one that truly matters. I want to live like that. Can we please get through that part?
He might actually get the votes together to do a healthcare bill or some shit, but all the rest would be the same.
Yeah.
You think Pence isn't going to do the exact same fucking tax cut?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. Please. I mean, like, you know it.
Be like, we need did it. You find anything interesting on those maps?
Yeah, I'm looking at the soybean production. And the corn production and wheat production are almost and sorghum production are almost exclusively in the Midwest, Texas area. Now, except for wheat production, which there's a little bit in California, a little bit in the Maryland, North Carolina area, and then the northwestern part of the country. So that's a little spread out, but those other ones are pretty solidly right in the Midwest, man. So when they go after this shit, it is going to be bad. So look, I hate to say it, but bring on the trade war. Like I don't want it to happen, but if these motherfuckers are cheering for this shit, yeah, let's do it. Let's rock and roll. Let's see how well it works out for you. I don't think it's going to work out the way you think it is. I mean, there's a Bloomberg article that says China tariffs could wreck Republicans in November. Yeah, dude, they're not. And again, Bloomberg, not people who don't understand finance. Okay. Like they definitely understand like it's not a good place to be, man. It just really isn't.
Nobody wins a trade war. All you can do is lose less worse.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the way Andy just said that was terrible, but yes, he is absolutely correct. The only way to win is to lose less worse.
It's the ultimate in drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
It's drinking poison and, you know, like a shot for shot sort of thing, but knowing that you're both going to die, but hoping they die first. So you can be like, ha ha. And then you die a second later.
I live to see you die, but I'm still going to die.
Yeah. Like, why are you playing that game? Yeah. Cause I'm tough, bro. Oh, all right.
It's a kamikaze attack. It's a suicide bombing. Yeah. It's something where you die too.
Like, what's the point? What is the point of this? But we never learn because we keep hiring, you know, we just keep putting dummies in power. Stop putting
Apparently
idiots in power.
We need to learn this lesson again.
I mean, look, Obama tried this to a small extent, too. And you know what happened? He got spanked back and he was like, nah, this is not worth it. Like they lost like 200,000 jobs because of that shit. And the reality is it's just not worth it. It doesn't mean there's nothing you can do and you just let China railroad you, right? Because there are some legitimate there's some legitimate points about China like dumping steel into the market and dropping the market price and everything else.
So fucking register a complaint with the WTO.
I mean, look, even that might not do enough, but there are other ways that you can retaliate without trying to start a trade war that is just going to blow up a bunch of other industries. Like that's all it's going to do. So, I mean, good luck, I guess.
I mean, what would have been smarter? Subsidies on American steel, maybe?
Yeah, well, that could have been something. Yeah, but that, I mean, it's not like the president is like an America First kind of guy. Like, that's crazy. Right? He's more of an attack your enemies, no matter whether or not they have a machine gun and you have a pencil or not. Just that part's irrelevant.
And if you sell whiskey for a living, boy, bad times for you, because the European Union ain't buying your shit, and now China ain't either, so... Good luck to you, hey, Jim Beam.
Hey, rock and roll. That's what America's all about. Showing these cucks overseas just how we do it by losing a lot of money on dumb shit. Speaking of dumb shit, Scott Pruitt is the most corrupt person ever.
In the Trump administration, which is impressive.
No. I said ever. I don't know that there's a guy who is more ridiculous than him. Does this guy think he's president? I feel like he thinks he's president, right?
Dude, I have no idea. But
Scott Pruitt is wilding.
All the shit we said last week, plus a bunch more. We found out more details about that Morocco trip. They had a layover in Paris for 2 days for no reason.
Yeah, get that good time out there, man. Go see the Eiffel Tower, Mon Cheri, and all that other shit. It's gonna be awesome. It's super dope. That's the worst French accent you've ever heard, by the way.
As a Frenchman, I'm offended.
You're not French. You're lying. You're American.
My name.
You're American.
Oh, fair enough. So he went around the Trump administration and used the Clean Water Act to give a couple of his buddies from Oklahoma gigantic raises.
I think you're being very, very liberal. Gigantic is an understatement. He gave one guy or a woman a $27,000 pay raise and another person like a $54,000 pay raise. That's not a little bit of, that's not even gigantic. That's egregious.
Yes.
That's crazy to me, man.
So apparently there's a provision in the Clean Water Act. If there's a clean water emergency, you can really quickly hire some, you know, engineers and scientists to get working on that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
important. Scott Pruitt decided to use these emergency funds to give his buddies raises. There's somebody, wow. There's a council. It's another woman. I noticed there's a lot of women. I wonder if there's going to be more about that. Because he took a whole bunch of female staffers to Morocco.
I told this dude's a drug addict, man. I'm telling you.
Paying women a bunch of money. There was somebody that they hired as a council who's been on the payroll and hasn't showed up to work for 3 months.
She is, what is her name? I can't.
Still getting paid though.
She's got, yeah, and she didn't show up for 3 months since, she didn't show up November, December, or January. And she was like his number two person. She was a counselor's number two person. And she was just like, nah, you know, I'm good.
Still made the Morocco trip though.
Yeah, well, look, you gotta, I mean, priorities, my guy. Like, I'm gonna miss a trip to Morocco and Paris. Nah, I'll come in for that.
How much taxpayer-funded cocaine did they do on this trip?
Dude, tons.
The AP released this story. Like, the amount of money he spent on travel and lodging is in the millions of dollars.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna defend Scott for one small second here. Scott, if you're listening, and I know that you are through the Department of Homeland Security archives. why isn't the government, why doesn't the government have a laid out way that they, these guys travel 100% of the time? I don't understand why they get to choose, oh, first class or business class, military flights or not military flights. Why is that even an option? If you are a cabinet member, you know, if you're a cabinet level person, they should have specified some sort of government. Like we have, like, again, I work for a government agency. Like we have a travel, like, department, right? Because, like, people travel, like they're scientists. Like, why don't they have something for cabinet level people? Like, okay, you need to go to Morocco, let's say. Here, we booked you a flight. It is business class. Like, they handle all of that. And then he just shows up. I don't understand why it's like you get to sometimes do private jets and all. Like, why is that even a question? It seems like a weird thing to even have to be something to be busted on corruption for.
Well, because the person in charge of that is the cabinet secretary.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. And it just, like, I'm saying this should be an overarching thing.
Right, and it just, it never occurred to anybody that, oh, what if they abuse that power? Like, these are things we're going to have to put in place.
Yeah, I can't wait for President Gillibrand to push for this in Congress.
Well, so it used to be you would have, like, an ethics attorney. A Norm Ornstein or a Richard Painter type who would have to approve all of these things. And I don't know who the fuck the ethics attorney is now, but he's just like fucking approving everything. Yeah, it sounds fine. $50 for a fucking penthouse near the
Capitol.
Right near the Capitol. DC. Yeah, sure. That sounds good.
Yep, $50 a night. Yeah.
Whatever. Fair deal. It's good.
I mean, if you don't approve it, then they're just going to do it anyway. Yo, they need to put Richard Painter in there just to yell at them every day. Get the fuck out of my face with this bullshit. Richard, we found
millions of dollars.
Did you see?
We never would have allowed this. And
did you see that
Bush administration? We had somebody who's trying to be a corrupt motherfucker and nailed his dick to the wall.
Did you see that video of Richard Painter on MSNBC fucking shitting, just dunking on Hugh Hewitt?
Yes.
Yeah, Hugh Hewitt is like, well, you know, maybe $50 a night is acceptable. And Richard Painter is like, no, 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 fuck out of here. Get out of my face.
No, it's not. And no ethics attorney with any worth their salt would have approved it. But their ethics attorney did approve it. Well, I don't know who that guy is, but he's terrible at his job.
I'll fight him in the street for the title. Like, God damn.
He's got 10 years of experience. 10 years of experience of being a corrupt motherfucker.
Who do you work for? Vladimir Putin? Like, wait, what? Wait, how do we get
the
back
only person that benefits from this is Vladimir Putin?
Richard Painter dunking on fucking other Republicans is the best. Because you know that dude was like a team player for a long time. He's like, nah, fuck these
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. You can't fuck with it. Like, you can't put Norm Ornstein in there because then they just go, oh, he's a lib. But you put Richard Painter in there, it's like there it goes against the conservative principle.
You're like, ah, God damn it, he's right again. Get Picasso face off television. He's ruining it for us.
We're supposed to be the party of fiscal responsibility, you heathen. What is this, ancient Rome?
I feel like Richard Painter has definitely yelled something about a vomitorium some point during his career. He definitely has. He definitely has. He's like, nah, fuck this. No, but I like Hugh Hewitt was like, well, you know, you don't know the man. He was like, I don't need to know the man. And he just goes on this rant. Like, no, it's just bullshit and it's all corrupted. I was like, yeah, you know what? Richard Painter, shout out to you. And he's got some real fucking ethics.
Yeah, that's the point. I know every ethics attorney who's actually worth this shit, and I don't know who this man is.
We have, we have ethics parties all the time. This is all we talk about. I've never heard of him. He's never invited.
We get together and have an ethics party.
We sit around.
We all get together and drink a responsible amount of alcohol and take an Uber home.
Richard Painter is the best. He's the best designated driver. That's what he does.
If you're coming in, you leave your keys here. I'm not letting anybody drive home. That would be unethical.
So Pruitt has just proven himself to, he's on suicide, right? He's on career suicide watch, right? Do you think he lasts another week?
I don't see how, but Trump seems to be getting his back. Cause Well, so the not so secret plan, because Trump calls all his shots.
Yeah.
Apparently, he just wanders around mumbling what he's going to do in the next couple of months, because all of these stories have been right.
They're all fake news.
Dude, every time they're like, they're like, I knew months ago that they were going to kick out Rex Tillerson and replace him with Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
And then Trump goes, that's bullshit. That's not going to happen. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders goes, no, I mean, that's fake news. There's no way. We are very happy with Rex Tillerson. And then they do exactly what fucking Time said they were going to do months ago. So the plan was, we're going to get rid of, we're going to get rid of Jefferson Beauregard.
Yep.
And replace him with Scott Pruitt. But I don't know that that plan's going to work.
There is no way that they will accept the fact of like, oh, Scott Pruitt is super corrupt in the EPA. That's fine. Let's move him over to attorney general. No,
there are Republicans in Congress calling for Scott Pruitt to step down. Do you think he's going to make it past fucking Senate confirmation?
He doesn't have to have it.
The attorney general.
He doesn't have to have it.
Temporarily.
Yeah.
Right? They can slide him in for a couple months, but eventually he'd have to face the Senate.
Yeah.
But you can't take the most corrupt motherfucker in your administration and put him in charge of the law.
Yeah, that is not really going to work. Yeah.
Fucking McConnell wouldn't understand.
Be like, come on, dude. Come on. Like, I'm a piece of shit. This is Mitch McConnell talking. I'm a piece of shit. But even I can see when I pull my head out of my turtle shell that, I don't think that doesn't seem like a very good idea.
I've looked the other way on a lot of shit, but Jesus fucking Christ, Donald.
I mean, we're told Scott, not to take that Morocco trip and sell liquefied, gas to the Moroccans, but nevertheless, he persisted. Like no, like, come on, man. Like, it doesn't work. Like, you can't keep him on. You have to get rid of him. Speaking of getting rid of him, even John Kelly is like, you have to get rid of this guy. For the love of Christ, he's destroying us.
Well, this point's been brought up by several people this week, but it's true. If you're trying to put a piece of shit at the EPA to, like, sneakily deregulate everything, you gotta be sneaky.
Yeah, you don't pick the guy who throws a brick window through Greenpeace, or a brick through the window of Greenpeace. Like, that's stupid.
Just sit in a hungry hippo gobbling up money, and everyone's looking at him at all times. You kind of want to, like, do some shit, like, on the low, like, hey, I'm going to deregulate this.
Yeah, like,
you're just running around screaming on fire, going, give me money, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Right. Like, if you're going to be corrupt, you got to keep it quiet. Like, that's the problem. And Scott Pruitt isn't even keeping it quiet about the EPA. Like, he's also bad at, like, just general corruption in the EPA as well. Like, okay,
you know
it's
the scene in American Gangster where Denzel rolls up to the boxing match in the big fur coat.
The chinchilla coat.
Everybody all of a sudden knew, oh, that guy's got to be a giant drug dealer.
Yeah, Frank, right? Lucas, what the fuck are you doing?
Right? So that's what Scott Pruitt is doing.
He's like, give me a chinchilla coat. I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, wow, that seems like a bad idea.
He might as well be wearing a giant chinchilla coat.
No, you know what? For him, since it's the EPA, it would just be like made of like club dolphins or seal, baby seals. He's like, I like to wear the skins of baby seals. That's how you know, that's how you know that I love the environment. Like, that seems like a bad idea, Scott. Like, fuck that. Scott baby does what he wants.
So if you want like a model for this, And I hate to give people advice on how to corrupt better.
Richard Painter is very disappointed in you, but go ahead.
Mick Mulvaney.
Yep. He's a perfect choice. Yep. You're absolutely right.
You don't hear a peep from that guy. He just sneaks over and is just like, hey, guess what? You know that giant lawsuit against you payday lenders? Gone. I'm evil. But you have to, you know. But have you heard about that guy taking a nickel he wasn't supposed to?
Nope. No, he's on the straight and narrow. He's just a piece of garbage.
Absolutely. But if your mission is to be a piece of garbage, be quiet about it.
Yep. Yeah, because the second the corruption kind of comes up, then people will hard focus on that and they will figure out a way to destroy you. Because you gave him a vulnerability. Yeah. There's nothing illegal about what Scott Pruitt is doing as far as destroying the EPA. That part's legal. But because he's so fucking corrupt, though, he has vulnerabilities. And he's also let's talk about this other part of the Scott Pruitt thing that's pretty wild. Right, last week we talked about how he was staying at this lobbyist townhouse for $50 a night in D.C., which is obviously was a tit for tat because he went over and shelled for that same company in Morocco to get them to buy liquefied gas, right? So from that
they
particular...
They also represent ExxonMobil, which... may have a concern or two at the EPA. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's not just ExxonMobil though. It's there's a company, Chechen, I think it is, they are the number one liquefied gas people in the country.
No.
They're the only. Yeah, the only
liquefied
one. Yeah,
you're
right.
Natural gas company. Yeah.
And so
in exporting anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say, hey, y'all should buy some liquefied natural gas, there's only one person that sells it.
Right. And the head lobbyist for that company is the people who own the townhouse that Pruitt was staying in. By the way, getting Morocco or suggesting that Morocco switches over to liquefied gas is out of the scope of the EPA. That is something that Rick Perry would be pushing, not Scott Pruitt. So he not only was he doing this overseas, but he was also doing something that's outside of his job. So, like, why are you doing this?
I wonder how we got this information. Did we have a Morocco mole?
Moroccan mole. Yeah, it was people who work for him are like, what the fuck is going on?
Hey, secret squirrel.
Hello. He's doing things that are illegal again. But the best part of this, and this goes to an earlier statement we made in the show, all of this is linked back to who? Carl Icahn, who is the guy who fucking told Scott Pruitt he gave the green light for Scott Pruitt to get the job at the EPA. And he is the guy who is linked up because he owns stock in this Chechen or whatever the fuck name of this company is that does liquefied gas. It is literally Carl Icahn's reasoning for giving him that EPA job. Because I'm sure he was like, look, you can have this job, but you need to get on your knees and do what I tell you to do. And you head your little punk ass over to Morocco and you do the job that Rick Perry is too stupid to do. And I don't trust him. So I trust you to get it done. And Scott Brewer is like, oh, does it fuck up the environment? Right on it, boss. No problem. Do you want spit or no spit? Like, I'll just do whatever it is you're into.
To get this job, he had to go interview with Carl Icahn.
Who didn't have a governmental job. Who was just a consultant and a corporate fucking raider. He's a raider. That's what he is. Go to prison. Carl Icahn needs to go to prison. He fucked Blockbuster in the Netflix versus Blockbuster thing. And I'm glad, but he really screwed them, man. Like, that's all he does is fuck companies over.
It's amazing to think that Trump ran on an anti-corruption platform.
Yeah, it is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Nobody's less corrupt than me. I'm going to drain the swamp. Yo, Scott Pruitt is the swamp. He is the human manifestation of an actual swamp.
Yeah. And we knew this. We had all his fucking emails with oil companies while he was the attorney general making life easier for them. So they could, like, rape Oklahoma of its natural resources and not pay teachers. Good thing they're standing up. I support you, Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, it's not just them. It's a number of school districts, actually, which is very cool.
Did you see those fucking pictures from Oklahoma from their schools?
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, the books alone were pretty fucking sad.
The books, the broken chairs, the water just pouring through the ceiling. Like, yeah, Oklahoma's making enough money. You can tax these oil companies a little bit.
Yeah.
They fracked it so much that you turned a state that never had earthquakes into a place that has 600 earthquakes a year now. I think they can give a little bit of money back.
Yeah, you know, causation does not equal correlation. So it's probably not a thing. Don't worry about it. I mean, that's what I'm told by fucking people on Reddit, right? They love using that statement. I'm like, but no, this is actual causation. Like, 100%.
Yeah, no, they did that
shit. No, dude, it doesn't. That's never true. All right, well, you go stand on the ground and see if it shakes. Fucking idiots. But yeah, it's, you know, Pruitt is garbage. And he's garbage for many reasons. And they're not all just because, like, he wants to take fucking 2-day extra trips to Paris. He's also garbage because he's just completely uninterested in doing his job, and he's completely interested in doing the bidding of oil and, you know, natural gas companies. And that's really fucking scary.
It's not just that he's not doing his job, he's actively making it worse.
Yeah.
But I would hate this fucking guy if he totally kept his nose clean, but at least now we have a reason to get rid of him.
So. Yep.
Let's go for it.
Absolutely. He's going to be a nice head put on the mantle that is Rachel Maddow's triple wall. the trifecta of losers.
The start of the fourth column.
Yes. Next up in the eliminator, Trump asked CIA official why drone strike didn't also kill Target's family. Humanity, how does that work? Washington Post reports Thursday that after watching a recorded video of a drone strike in Syria in which officials waited until the target was outside of his family's home, Trump asked, why did they wait? The agency head of drone operations explained to an unimpressed Trump, wow, there are techniques to limit civilian casualties. If you can do it in 10 days, get it done, Trump said in a meeting, according to two officials, in reference to Trump calling for the CIA to start arming its drones in Syria and reportedly asked for it to start in days. I mean, this shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody because Trump advocated for drone striking families during the election. The families of targets. He was like, yeah, we should just fucking do it. Who cares? And all these generals were like, this is unacceptable. And Republicans were like, this is unacceptable. And then they turned around and were like, yeah, let's elect this guy president. It's fine.
Well, it doesn't get brought up enough, but there were more civilian casualties due to us in the first 6 months of the Trump presidency than the entire 8 years of Obama. And boy, did you hear about every civilian casualty under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we don't care anymore, or I don't know. Have all the angry leftists moved on?
Well, you know what? I wish I could say that it's because there are so many other things to complain about, and I think that's part of it. But I also think that there is a desire to find something to bitch about when it's our side.
Well, I mean, you can still, I mean, try it. Go on the internet and say something positive about Obama, and you will, within three comments, get somebody who goes, yeah, but the drone strike.
Yeah, and look, the drone strikes were a big deal, but here's the thing.
You're right. But it's so much worse now.
It's, yeah.
Where are you guys?
Where's that same energy for this? And I think part of it is like, well, you know, there's just so many things. No, dude, but this is a real issue. And if it was a super big issue then, it should be a super big issue when it's worse. Not just corruption. Like, and the difference is, and I saw this with the Bush administration into the Obama administration, and now the Obama administration into to the Trump administration. Nobody gives a fuck about military deaths or incursions in civilian deaths and things like that when the administrations keep the shit quiet. Bush wasn't able to keep that shit under wraps because there was an entire war going on. And then he slowly kind of pulled that shit under wraps. And then people stopped really super talking about it near the tail end of his administration, right? That last year or so. Obama put all of that shit out in the open, and that's why he got criticized about it. You know, it's like, oh, we don't show the troops anymore coming home and all that, and he did all of that. And then people were like, drone strikes, you're the worst person ever. But he was actually showing people, this is what, you want these wars? This is what it cost. This is what it cost. And they, look, I will absolutely concede that drone strikes killed a lot of civilians under him. They did. They absolutely did. But that's, look, again, you motherfuckers advocate for going to war all the time and kicking ass and America-style shit. Well, guess what? This is what happens. Now, I know liberals aren't doing that, but this is what the country fucking keeps advocating for. We got to go over there and kick the shit out of everybody. Oh, we got to lead from in front. All right. Well, guess what? We're going to lead from in front by drone striking the fuck out of these people. Oh, you're mad now? But that's cool. Now, keep the same energy when your guy does it. They don't. Because it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to the argument. And that goes for liberals as well. It's inconvenient to the argument. So, look, I got no problem shitting on Obama for that. No problem with it.
Yeah, for sure. But Donald Trump does do a great job of setting himself on fire and drawing attention to himself every day. Like, and then people ask questions like, wait, what the fuck were we doing in Yemen? What the fuck were we doing in Niger? What the fuck are we doing? And don't worry about it.
Yeah. They just don't say.
What are we doing? And again, Trump ran against war, and we now have military action in like 5 more countries than we did before. What are we doing?
Oh, we have no idea. It's fine. And it's amazing because they're okay with not knowing. And that to me is fucking terrifying. There's like, oh no, Donald Trump doesn't want to tell us. Yeah, that's cool. That's what a real president would do. Like, wait, what? Yeah, they're totally fine with not knowing.
Mm. Well, occasionally somebody will pop up and ask Sarah Sanders, what are we doing? And like, I'd have to direct your question to General Mattis. Okay, when's he coming out? Never? Great. So this question will never get answered.
Nope.
Good stuff.
Dope, man.
I love when she directs questions to people who don't answer fucking questions.
Yeah. See,
I'd have to direct you to Secretary Tillerson on that. He never answers questions. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, sometimes he's on the can, so he can't really get back to you. I recommend buying that big old teddy bear a big old plate of barbecue, Texas style, and maybe might loosen up after 7 or 8 plates. I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, he has called the president a fucking moron, I believe, so may not be the friendliest guy. I hate her folksy bullshit. Like, shut up, Sarah. Just shut up. You stupid bulldog face. Get out of here. Last but certainly not least, decade-long Russian campaign to infiltrate the NRA and help elect Trump. I disagree with the last bit of that. I don't think it's to help elect Trump. I think it is to help elect Republicans. So.
Well, they certainly spent a fuck pile of money.
Yeah.
Alexander Torshin.
Yes.
Somehow got $30 million over to the NRA. The NRA spent $55 million on this election.
Three times. I think it's 2 or 3 times more than they've ever spent on an election.
It's over 3 times. Yeah, they've never spent this much money. But... yeah, so this is fun because I hate the NRA. Like I said, I know a lot of sane, normal gun owners, but fuck the NRA in the face. And
agreed.
Yeah, they're basically just laundering Russian money into our elections.
No, they said
Isn't
they
that
didn't.
Fun?
No, but they said they didn't.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We figured it out. Nailed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of really fascinating things about Alexander Torshin. He leads an organization.
This is hilarious.
Called the Right to Bear Arms.
Yeah, fuck off.
In a country with no right to bear arms. This is supported by Vladimir Putin, a man who does not allow his citizens to have guns.
And Vladimir Putin does not, and his party does not support Russians having guns. That is not a thing.
At all. Not even, like, it's really difficult to have a gun. Which is...
good?
Here's why I find it... Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, boy, you want to talk about overthrowing a tyrannical government.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want any parts of that. Like, we've seen how this movie plays out. Absolutely not.
They literally know how that happens. Look up the Russian Revolution of 1917.
Yeah, they will come for you, dude.
They managed to overthrow their government with five-shot Mosin Nagant. So,
we're coming, comrade. We're coming.
That's why I support everybody having one of those, because you can literally overthrow capitalism with it.
That's right.
You only need five shots, guys. You pussies with your 30-round magazines.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of you guys overthrowing capitalism.
Well, they're just waiting on the government any day now to come to their convenient location, and then they'll take them down.
Bolsheviks did it in five. That's all I'm saying.
Boom.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, look.
Maybe you should learn how to shoot a little better.
Yeah, well, think about it. They would be highly offended by this.
I'm going to go buy one of those.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Why do you have that gun to overthrow
capitalism? I don't know.
What's with your old ass gun? Look, it worked once before.
Nothing has changed since 1917. It's fine. What does the government have now that they didn't have then? Like, a couple things.
It's all the same, right? Yeah. Everybody's just...
Yeah. And that's why our laws are exactly the same from the fucking 1700s.
Literally no difference.
Yep. So, yeah, look, torsion is interesting. You're right. And yeah, they've been laundering money. Like, it is more than obvious that they've been laundering money in. But, you know, I was thinking about this this idea of Russia not having the right to bear arms, like we do here. What a great and hilarious situation that you have conservative Americans saying how great Vladimir Putin is, how awesome he is, and wow, we need a president like that. This guy, if you live there, would never let you bring a single weapon into that country. He'd be like, yeah, that's cool. Nah, I don't think so. By the way, if you bring one in, I will fucking put a bullet in your head. Like, we're not playing around. But like, we conservative Americans literally look up to this guy as if he's some sort of like weird American conservative hero. He doesn't believe any of the shit you believe. None of it.
No. Not a bit. You know what's real fascinating about that is one of the guys that they brought over to come do a speech about how sweet guns are. John Bolton.
Yeah, how about that? It's not like that guy's going to have a large-scale, super important job come Monday.
He also ran a PAC, which was involved in some elections in 2014, where he got a bunch of Mercer money and spent a bunch of it on Cambridge Analytica. So anyways, he's taking over on Monday.
I like that we don't have a national security advisor all weekend, by the way. That's just hilarious.
Yeah. So hopefully nothing happens.
Yeah. No, we should be fine.
Yeah. Fucking McMaster decides he's going to take his last day and just go, fuck Russia!
Yeah. Look, sometimes you gotta get out there and fucking talk that shit, man. I love it. Like, no, fuck these people.
He's just screaming about Russia. They're the worst people in the world!
They're nothing like us. And I hate them, and they hate all of you. Like, yeah. And meanwhile, the Trump folks are like, John Bolton is going to be our boss. Dear God, yeah. We're all going
to
die.
And John Bolton's coming to take the job with a fucking pocket full of rubles.
Yep.
And we're just supposed to be fine with that.
By the way, how long do you think before his whole thing just collapses in on itself? I think he's got a month tops before he gets pulled into the Mueller investigation.
I am not 100% positive that he's going to be able to take the job. He might get Scaramucci'd.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's a bold prediction. John Bolton out in less than one Scaramucci, I believe it was 11 days.
10.
Is there a chance that he gets fired before Monday?
There you go. The over-under is Scaramucci. Does John Bolton last an entire Scaramucci?
There's no way to truly know. There's a decent chance you're right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but it's not looking good for John Bolton because he's linked right up in the middle of this shit. God, wouldn't that be a fucking pleasure for him to just get bounced before he gets in on Monday? God damn.
Like, I think it was Matto. Well, it might have been Matto. Yeah, who brought up the point that, like, we got rid of Michael Flynn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a respected general in there for a bit, and now we're bringing in somebody who has as many problems, if not worse, than Michael Flynn. We're just Michael Flynning again.
Look, when you do nothing but hire corrupt people, yeah, they're super fucking corrupt. Shocking news. These are the same assholes you keep putting in power because they're garbage.
And again, this would be another issue we wouldn't have with Pence.
No, I don't think
so. He might even hire Richard Painter.
Yeah, he might. He might. So it's just...
No, Mike, you can't ask everybody if they've ever done anything gay before they take the job. That's discriminatory.
Mike's like, but I gotta know. I mean, I gotta know which ones I like and which ones I definitely like. Yeah, Mike Pence is gay, guys.
All right. Well, he definitely. Welcome to the White House. Before you take the job, have you ever sucked a dick? Now, you can't ask that, Mike. You really can't hire people based on that's discrimination. You can't hire people based on how many dicks they did or did not suck.
Not...
By the way, zero for me, in case you're...
in case you're wondering. No one was asking you, Richard Painter. God damn it. But
I just want to, put that on the record.
I want everybody to know. old Painter face here doesn't swing left or right, just right down the middle. Right down the middle. just like my ethics record. Just right down the middle.
And that's the thing. It's not because I have no desire, because I've definitely seen some good-looking men. I just think it'd be unethical.
I'm a married man, goddamn it.
Not like I haven't faced the temptation of a rock-hard set of abs, but that would be unethical. I made marriage vows to my wife.
There's no way Richard Painter doesn't live his life exactly like that all the time. All the time. He is the most reasonable person you've ever met. Like, dude, you are such a goody two shoes. Well, I mean, even as a baby, it's like he still had that one. He still had that voice. He was like 4 years old. Like, hey, you want to take some candy out of the candy jar? Well, it wouldn't be ethical. I was already told I had to have dinner first, and didn't feel it would be right, so I didn't.
If I was supposed to have that candy, my mother would have given it to me. Let's leave it back in the jar.
I will send her a straightforward letter asking her what she thought about it, and if she gives an okay, then we can do it.
I'll run that up the ladder.
I'll run that up the ladder. That's fucking hilarious. Richard Painter as a child is one of the funniest things of all time. All right, I'm going to end it there this week. Any final thoughts? Any production or predictions? Scott Pruitt. I think Scott Pruitt is going to be out this week. I think it's over this week.
Pruitt's gone by the next time we do this show. And what did you say on the over under for one Scaramucci for Bolton?
10 days roughly is one Scaramucci. I'm going to give him. Yeah. I'm giving him. Before he gets pulled directly, I don't know how long it'll take him to leave, but before he gets pulled into the full-scale Robert Mueller investigation, I give it 3 Scaramucci's, 1 month.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so we will be without an EPA administrator when we come back next week.
There you go. All right, guys, we will see you next time.